Thursday, June 9th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective.
Harry, you and I were going over an article recently in which we both thought this is something that we need to address once again. If you stopped and looked around at America today, it should come as no shock that Christianity in the culture is dying. Shockingly, a recent survey done by Barna found that half of the pastors in the United States are afraid to speak out on moral and social issues because people will take offense. According to a report by Daniel Taylor, recent polls are suggesting that many Americans are leaving the church, and more are identifying as having no religious affiliation. Pew Research found out the country is becoming less religious as a whole, and that is happening all across the board. The Christian Church of America used to be the predominant influence over our society and culture. Now the liberal agenda has become so pervasive that it has not only beaten out Christianity as the main influencer of our society, but churches are now being taken over by it. Bible-believing Christians are finding they are now on the outskirts of society. It is scary to think where this road is taking us and how Christians will be treated in the near future if something does not change. Harry, are these overstatements? Or are they accurate? And where does the sovereignty of God come in as we discuss these issues?
Well, I mean, God is sovereign over all of the affairs of life and the direction of life. We are supposed to be responsible in terms of embracing that which a sovereign God has ordained for us to use in life for His glory. Tom, I think the article is accurate, but I think cause and effect needs to be a little bit more clear. I don't think liberalism has defeated biblical Christianity, either theological liberalism or political liberalism. I think what has defeated Christianity is the loss of courage and wisdom in the pulpit. The pulpit is, to quote Charles Spurgeon, the Thermopylae of Christianity. Everything's won or lost. We are people of the Word, and the primary means, not the exclusive, but the primary means for delivering the Word is the preaching of the Word of God. So God's Word, preached by those who embrace it, desiring to live it intentionally and to proclaim it without partiality, that has been absolutely crucial. Whenever God does a great movement of Christianity, He always raises up leaders in general and preachers in particular. Now, preachers who know how to preach the Word without fear or seeking favor. That's what's absolutely crucial. So what has happened is the shaming of the pulpit into silence. And the silence of the pulpit is in two areas. Before I get there, Tom, let me back up to something that is being observed. It's interesting. We did this program recently on the survey that Christianity is diminishing statistically. And this particular news item that you have brought out actually affirms what we said in that program, which is biblical Christianity has not diminished. Those who hold fast and are committed to the Word of God are pretty much the same number and increasing to some degree. But the favor of Christianity in the culture has diminished. Therefore, nominal Christianity, those in mainline churches, that's what's diminishing. Now, notice the mainline Episcopal, mainline Presbyterian, mainline Baptist. Many of them are now disappearing from the scene because no longer is it the thing to do to be a Christian in the culture. Now it has been shamed. So unless you're really committed to Christ, why would you want to be identified? And why would you want to join a church? It's no longer beneficial to your job resume. It's no longer beneficial to your portfolio. It's no longer beneficial to your one-day obituary. So now the nominal ranks of Christianity are diminishing rapidly. You abhor nominal Christianity because many people are getting false assurance. I'm saved because I'm a member of a Christian church. But they're doing what Christians do, which is they become a part of a body of believers. They come together on the Lord's Day to worship. Not all the church is the church, but there is a little bit of refreshment to it. I remember when I went from being in the Bible Belt, where a lot of people say they're Christians, but they're not, and then I went down to Miami. Those who weren't Christians didn't claim that they were, and those who were Christians were going to claim that they were, and so that you knew who was who. But the way to pursue this thing is to start back to the leadership, and that is to the pulpit. The article that you read brings out two things, and that is preachers are silent, and I would say have been shamed into silence and have been duped into silence. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, they believe that if they don't preach what the culture affirms, then the culture will not respond and therefore the church will not grow. If your objective is church growth, you eventually will have either a large number of meaningless adherents or you will soon have a vacuous ministry. You've got to say something meaningfully, as attractively as possible, but you got to be faithful to God's word. There are a lot of guys who, I want the crowd, so we'll get the smoke machines out. We'll call an entertainment event, worship, and we'll get people in because they're feeling pretty good about the moment, so people do drive-by church. The reality is it's pretty much the wisp of the wind. That church is going to disappear. If you have an electronic blackout, that church is gone that day. But if you're preaching the word of God, that actually is what God uses. The Word of God tells you three things: why you need to be a Christian, what is a Christian, and how does a Christian live. What we have right now in a lot of pulpits is a declaration of you need to come to Jesus because he went to the cross to die for you. Well, why? Because you're a sinner. In other words, nobody's giving the bad news, which is why the good news is meaningless. And so the bad news is I'm a sinner. It's not that I need to be delivered from the flu. It's not that I need to be delivered from disappointments at work. It's not that I need to be delivered from a lack of success in my endeavors. I need to be delivered from my sin, the penalty of sin, the shame of sin, the power of sin, increasingly delivered from the practice of sin. That's what the gospel is. So the gospel is meaningless until preachers will say what your problem is. Now the solution has meaning. Now amazing grace is amazing when I understand I'm a sinner. Now, how then shall we live for this Christ? An ethical clarity of gospel commands of how do you live for Christ? How do you put off the old way of life? How do you put on the new way of life? Paul uses the picture of clothing. Put off the old clothing. Put on the new clothing. Do away with the deeds of the flesh, that is a lifestyle independent of God. And now put on the fruit of the Spirit, a lifestyle dependent upon the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life.
For decades, we've noticed that there is a lack of the genuine gospel and the proclamation of sin being sin in the mainline churches. Now, this is a situation of concern because it's all over the evangelical church.
If the pulpit deals with sin, it only deals with the sins that the culture wants us to deal with. But what is very clear, what is framing the pulpit is not the word of God. It is the fads, the winds, and philosophies of the age. That's framing the pulpit. So what is it that the church is doing? It's modifying its message to try to gain favor, when the reality is God is the one who gives us our message. It is God's word, and God's word begins with a loving statement of the truth. Here is sin. You are a sinner. You have a sin nature and a sin record. And you are now in rebellion against God, and God is holy and just and will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. You are under God's judgment, and you cannot save yourself. Sincerity doesn't save you, and you one day will stand before him and give an account. It is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. But now I've got good news for you. This God has so loved you that he has given his Son, who went to the cross and took all of your penalty, all of its condemnation, and he has removed it for all who put their trust in him alone for salvation. So come to him by faith and repentance. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling.
Contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview, as we put the issues of today in perspective.